ladies and gentlemen, here is Judy Wortman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and I hope things are going well.
Well, I called you on the wrong phone first, so you know how things are going.
Not so well.
And then he forgot. He's not. Usually he honorifics you. Usually he Dr. Wortman's you.
I was trying to make up
today
for lost time.
Today she's just Judy. Judy!
Exactly. That's
Judy
fine.
Has done everything in the world that one can do and write books and become a helper of people. There we go.
She's great. Not only that,
what
Marshall,
more is there to say?
What there is to say is that Judy, who has been a diligent contributor for years and years, has finally made progress with her most difficult client. That would be you.
Yeah. She always
Oh, I never. No, it's amazing. In fact, I think really you should go to TV so people can see how wonderful you look.
But is it? I mean, it's actually getting exciting. I mean, as someone who has watched the process,
I'm like a balloon in a parade. If I
You're
get
like
blown
the
up,
the bargain
and then
bargain.
If I lose a little air, they pop it up again.
Well, they as you, but you're doing a really good job.
Maybe like an iceberg melting, you know, smaller and smaller.
We'll do
the global warming.
Anyway,
at least that's some progress that's being made during this really difficult time. But I just want to talk with you, Jill, briefly about people, somebody going in the opposite direction, not in terms of weight, but in terms of her mental status. And, I hope this is not permanent, but it's very worrisome. And so what I wrote to you about, I have a friend, you know, not a close friend. She's sort of a gym buddy who I've known for years and years. And we actually know each other because we live here as neighbors, and we also live in Boston as neighbors. So I bump into her during the summer. Anyway, I hadn't seen her for several weeks, of course, and called her up, and I said, how about going for a walk? Because there are places we can go or even sit in a park where we can talk with our masks on, social distancing apart, but it's safe, really pretty safe. And she first agreed to it, and then she told me when I called her to make a firm date, no, she couldn't. She really was unable and unwilling to leave her apartment for the foreseeable future. And at first I thought that maybe she was dealing with some unexpected health problem that would make her particularly vulnerable to the coronavirus, like being immunocompromised. But no, she's in really excellent health. She's not old. There's nobody in her household who's vulnerable to the virus. And indeed, her husband goes out, she told me, all the time, both to the supermarket, you know, for food and the drugstore, but also goes for long bike rides or with his buddies or goes for long walks, etc. So she is not adverse to having somebody leave the house and come back in again who might be really bringing the virus in, because who knows. No, she said to me, the reason I can't go outside is that when I went out once, and that was sometime toward the beginning of April, the end of March, beginning of April, when people were just starting to wear face masks and social distancing, she said, it upset me so much. The world was so strange and bizarre to me that I became extremely jittery. I'm very anxious, and I couldn't wait to get back inside. I cannot bear to be outside in this strange alien world. I'm not going to go outside until the world returns to normal. And I felt like saying to myself, if it ever does. And then I thought, I wonder whether she might be, because of this virus developing, one of these mood disorders that is described by people unable to leave their homes. And, one of them is called social phobia, in which people don't want to mingle with others because they're afraid that they may somehow embarrass themselves in an extreme way. And they really, not that they could or would, but they have an anxiety about this. And so they avoid people. But she's clearly not one of these people because she loved, before the virus, being in any kind of social situation. The other are people who have something called agoraphobia, who have anxiety or panic attacks, and they're really afraid that if they're in a place where they can't leave, like in public transportation or even a lecture hall or musical performance, that they will have this total meltdown, this total panic attack, and have to deal with it in front of large crowds of people, and so they don't leave the home either. But she never had panic attacks. And the third is people who just socially isolate themselves. They just don't want to be with people. Not that they isolate themselves because they can't get out, like they're old or they are sick or orthopedic problems, but they just don't want to be with other people. And she didn't really belong to that category either. But yet, I'm wondering if this fear of being outside and the strange world that the rest of us had to adapt to, kids riding tricycles with face masks, etc., is something that she can't and won't do, and whether this may lead to a permanent change in her own personality and mental status.
Well, I don't know how to say this politely, but I know way more of those than I would have expected, and they break along really interesting. You know, this would be a time for me to be very happy in the lab doing research, because I'd like to know if they are on medication, you know, if they are on any medication, if they are prone to anxiety. But you know, I am stunned. I spoke to somebody yesterday, and she's never leaving the house. She's so disorganized about when I say never. It's not that she doesn't have places that she could go or get there or the resources to do it, but she just kept telling me that she couldn't possibly. And she's actually waiting to sell something, but has made zero. You sit and listen to this, and when that sale happens, she's gonna have to leave the house, but where's she gonna go? Because all of her, there's no forward. It is not only incoherent, it is borderline alarming. It's not borderline alarming. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And this
it is chill. It is, and I think it's unrecognized. You know, except anecdotally, like we're talking about it to each other.
Right. Except that this is something as I can only think of the horrible situation in nursing home as nursing homes and care homes you started opening up and you started seeing the extent of the ravages of this virus. I think that as some people start going back to work and others just her reality was so. And again, she's not an outlier. This is what's really frightening.
I see. But the curious thing is she wasn't worried about getting the virus.
No, she hasn't been worried about getting the virus.
She allowed her husband to do things that potentially would expose her.
There's no connection.
She couldn't stand being in this new world.
I understand. What I'm trying to say is the excuse is whatever the excuse is, not in my situation. The reason that's provided is disconnected from the actual environmental circumstances. If this person were thinking, and yours person, my person, my 12 people were actually thinking about, well, you know, the shin bone's connected to the knee bone's connected to they would see, and they can't see, and that inability to see tells you that it's a mental disorder or some sort of disorder that's forming.
Sure.
And Marshall is telling me to shut up.
And I think I am wondering whether a year from now or what have you, this will be a new problem for therapists to deal with relatives and friends to deal with, that all of a sudden they're seeing somebody who had predictable behavior, like our ears and mind, suddenly withdrawing for reasons that you say quite rightly have a rational basis now. I don't want to get sick, but really underneath that is something that is not rational. And it's scary, and it's very sad, too, because as I said, I think, as I wrote at the end of the article, will I ever see this woman again? Or will she prolong this because, quote, who knows?
Yeah.
And one can't answer that question.
So right now, I think we should name this the Howard Hughes syndrome and copyright it so we can hear it mentioned, just like we hear all the Arctic outbreaks and stuff like that, the Howard Hughes syndrome.
HHS.
That's right. HHS.
Health and Human Services, HHS. I think that's good. Done. All right. We've named it.
At least they can listen to you on the radio, and that is a plus, without leaving the house.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
All right. And Judy can be heard, of course, on Thursday mornings here on Robin Hood Radio and also on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertman.